particular story in the Bible, and you kind of wonder why it's in there. I believe every word in the Bible is inspired by God. So I know there's a point, there's a purpose for every story in the Scripture. But when you get to the end of Judges, starting in chapter 17 through the end of Judges, end of chapter 21, there are some crazy stories, I guess, is the way to say it, and some gruesome things that take place. And I wondered, as a matter of fact, I had decided I wouldn't even finish the book of Judges. I would just go on to something else. But the more I read it, the more I thought, well, you know, I need to finish it. I hate to not finish it. And there's a lesson in these stories, and so I want to try to draw that out tonight. The stories contained in 17 through 21, or the account of incidents that happened in the nation of Israel, show the depraved condition of Israel. And there's an explanation for that in these chapters. And there's a warning in these chapters for us today. So I'm going to do all of chapter 17, and then we're going to do 18 through 21 just like that. So listen fast, okay? Chapter 17. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord my son. Now don't you find that an odd verse? Mom, I stole money from you. Well, bless the Lord, son. Just may God bless you. That's what she said. May God bless you. Here apparently is what happened. Micah's mother discovered that someone had stolen 1,100 shekels of silver. Now that's a pretty good amount of money. And somebody had stolen that from her. So she pronounced a curse. When it says, about which thou cursest, it didn't mean that she said bad words. It meant that she pronounced a curse on the thief. Well, Micah heard that. She told her son in his ears, she pronounced this curse on the thief. And apparently that scared him because he was the thief. So he confessed and he said, oh, I took it, Mom. And she said, oh, well, God bless you. She didn't want him to be cursed. She wanted him to be blessed. He was her son. I read those two verses and I thought, boy, there's just all kinds of things that are wrong in there. First of all, a man steals money from his mother. There's no mention of Micah's father or her husband, so I'm guessing maybe he's out of the picture. We're not told why Micah took the money, why he didn't just ask for help if he needed it or ask from whatever the situation was. He stole from his mother. That's the first problem. The second problem is this woman and Micah believe that she has the power to pronounce a curse on someone. Well, now that doesn't sound like a woman of God to me. And then the same woman believes she has the power to pronounce the blessings of God on someone. That sounds like somebody who's confused to me. Now, I know in the Old Testament it was not unusual for the patriarch of the family to say a blessing or pronounce a blessing on his descendants as he's about to die. I understand that. But we understand it is within the authority of God to give blessing and to do whatever it is he wants to do. I don't tell God who to bless. I don't tell God who to hurt. I mean, we might could try, but we don't have that authority or that power. And so this woman apparently thinks she does, and her son thinks she does, and I just found that was odd. And he believes it so much that he confessed to thievery. Then verse 3, it just gets odder and odder. Verse 3 says, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, he gave the money back. His mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. I was going to use that money, son. I dedicated that money to God to make an idol. That's what she said. I dedicated that money to God to make a molten image. she was either ignorant of the commands of God, which told us not to make images of any kind, even some kind of image that we could imagine of God, or she was willfully disobedient of the commands of God. Verse 4 says, yet he restored the money unto his mother. She didn't want to take it back, but he gave it back anyway. She said, well, I wasn't going to use it anyway. I had given it to God, so I'll just give it to you instead. So apparently what she had dedicated to God, she could undedicate and give to her son if she so chose. But he wouldn't take it. I suppose he was still afraid of the curse, maybe. So he restored the money unto his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them unto the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. So she took part of the money. They made an idol. When it talks about a graven image, a molten image, they're talking about it. They made an idol, and they worshiped that idol as their god. Micah took the idol back to his house and set it up in his house, and he began to worship that image. Verse 5 says, the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now, Micah had a shrine in his home. That's what it meant when he said he had a house of gods. He had a shrine in his house, including this image that his mother had made, including an ephod or a copy of the ephod that he had made, the teraphim, and those are just household idols. So in his home, he had a shrine, and he decided that since he had a shrine, a temple, literally, that he needed a priest, so he got one of his sons, and he made his son a priest. Well, we all know, I mean, red flags are just flying up everywhere, aren't they? We all know this is all way wrong. You're not supposed to worship an image. It's God who chooses priests. We don't decide who's going to be in the Old Testament, who's going to be a priest and who's not. And all kinds of red flags are going up in this verse. And then I got to reading a commentary, and this one guy, bless his heart, he said Micah just made a temple in his home because he couldn't make it to the temple in Jerusalem. And I thought, are you kidding me? And then comes verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you read the first five verses of chapter 17 of Judges, and you think, how in the world can these things happen? What are these people thinking? And you read verse 6, and there's the explanation. There's no king in Israel. That literally means they had rejected God as their king. This is before they had earthly kings, human kings. But they had already rejected God as their king. They had no human leadership. They had judges that would come on the scene. That's what we've been studying out in the book of Judges. But they were there for a few years and they were gone. Some of them weren't people of God. Some were. But essentially what it boiled down to was every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now that's the explanation for everything that took place in the book of Judges. There was no moral standard. There was no righteous standard. The church was silent. The true religious leaders, what we would call Christians, were apparently silent. And everybody just did what they thought was right. And I read that and I thought, you know, we have people in our society today, in our world today, who preach and teach relativism. And that is simply, truth is relative. Everybody just decides for their own selves what is truth and what isn't. Now, I know that's silly, but that's what they teach. For example, they could say, well, if you believe there's a hurricane in Florida, there is, but if you decide there's not, there isn't. You know, truth is relative. They've decided that right and wrong are relative. Everybody just decides what's right for them and what's wrong for them. And as long as you're true to yourself, everything is okay. They call themselves progressive thinkers because they think that what they're teaching, this relativism, is new. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, the people of Israel were living relativism. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. You just decide what you think is right, and that's what you do. And if somebody else doesn't like it, that's just tough for them. if it interferes with their human rights or their religious rights or their social rights or what, that's just their problem because it's right for me. Well, I want you to see what kind of a mess that made in the nation of Israel. We've already seen a little of it here in chapter 17, but it gets a little bit messier. Verse 7 says, "There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there," that is, in Mount Ephraim. "And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed." This man was of the tribe of Levi. God had given the Levites when the Israelites came into the Promised Land and the land was divided up and each tribe was given an inheritance. The Levites were not given a specific place, but they were given 48 cities, 48 different cities scattered throughout the nation of Israel where the Levites were to live, and from there they were to serve God. This particular young man in verses 7 and 8 was living in disobedience to God because he wasn't living in any one of those 48 cities. He went to the city of the Mount Ephraim where Micah was, and he decided he was going to live there. No reason is given, but he is in rebellion, disobedience to God by not living in one of the places where God told him to live so that he could be in service to God. But he's a Levite. And when Micah found out he was a Levite, I want you to notice what happened. Verse 9. "And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." He said, "I'm looking for a place to live, like to start my own business, you know." "And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man who was unto him as one of his sons." So Micah, get your mind in the mind of Micah. Micah hears about this Levite. Now he's already got a shrine in his house. He's got idols in his home, and he's got a priest in his home. It just happens to be one of his sons. And then this Levite comes along. Well, the Levites were the priestly tribe. Ephraim was not the priestly tribe, so Micah's son had no legal, moral, spiritual justification for being a priest, except dad made me one. And so along comes this Levite, a real bona fide Levite, and Micah thinks, I'll make him my priest. So he offered him a job. He said, "I'll put here your salary. We'll be 10 shekels of silver by the year." I have no idea whether that was good or bad, but that's what it was. "I'll give you room and board, so you virtually have no expenses, and I'll give you 10 shekels a year. And you come in, and I've already got the shrine built. I've already got the gods here. You come in, and you be my priest." He said, "Sounds like a good deal to me. I'll take the job." Everybody did what was right. That's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing comes in the next two or three verses. Verse 12. "And Micah consecrated the Levite." Micah set this young man apart for service to God. God didn't do it. Micah did it. Oh, well, if he's going to be my priest, I better consecrate him. So he did. He has, again, Micah has no justification morally, spiritually, legally to do that, but that's what he did. Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. And here is the most amazing thing in this verse. Then said Micah, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Oh, now I'm convinced God is really going to bless me because I've got a Levite in my house servicing my gods, guiding me spiritually. God is really going to bless me now. Is that not an indication of the mixed upness of the Israelites? He really believed God was going to bless him Because he had his own shrine, his own gods, and his own Levite to be his own priest. Well, don't we do that? We do the same thing. Christians don't. Boy, thank God Christians don't. At least I don't know of any who do. But out there, people out there in the world, the unsaved people out there in the world, they do. Oh, God's really going to bless me because I gave $100 last year to hurricane relief. Well, that's the right thing to do. God's really going to bless me because I read my Bible every day. Boy, God is really going to bless me because I really support that church down the corner there. Well, I keep their parking lot clean or cleared of trash all the time. We just decide what's right, and we do it, and we figure if we do what we think is right, God ought to honor it and ought to really bless us, and everybody's going to go to heaven because everybody's just doing what they think is right, and God just likes that. That's where Israel was, and I think that's where, for the most part, our society is today. Now, chapter 18 tells about the tribe of Dan, specifically a group of men from the tribe of Dan. Apparently, the tribe of Dan felt like they didn't have a good enough place to dwell. They needed some more cities, so they scoped out some places throughout the nation of Israel, and they found a group of folks who were not Israelites, and they were sort of up off away by themselves, unprotected. Matter of fact, if you read through chapter 18, it says that they were living securely. It just means they felt like they were safe because they were so far removed from everybody, nobody would bother them. The problem was nobody could come and help them either. So these group of men from the tribe of Dan decided they were going to go and overthrow those cities and take them over, and they were going to live there. And on their way up there, they came across Micah's house. And they saw Micah was gone out in the fields working, and they saw all of Micah's idols, and they saw Micah's priests, and they said, hey, why don't you come go with us? So they stole Micah's gods, and they stole his priests. Now, I want you to look at verse 24, chapter 18, verse 24. The Bible says, and he said, that's Micah. Micah said, listen to this now. Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests. Can't you see he's pitching a fit? That's what we say in Oklahoma. He's pitching a fit. And he's stomping us. He chased down these, I think there were 600 if I remember right. He chased down these men from Dan after they had stolen his gods, his idols, and stolen his priests. And he's stomping his feet and he's carrying on. He said, you stole my God. Don't you think that Micah, or one of those 600 men out of the tribe of Dan, that it would dawn on somebody and say, you know, if he was really God, we probably couldn't steal him. If he was really God, we probably couldn't make him. He said, you have taken away my gods, which I made. Have you ever known any human being to make anything that was greater than that human being? No. But Micah said, well, I've made God. And you stole him. And I'm mad at you because you stole God. Is this not part of some of the craziest things you've ever read in the Bible? Why in the world would God tell us this? Because everybody did what was right in their own eyes, and this is the result. What a mess. The rest of Judges, chapters 19 through 21, tell a story. I'll try to tell this quickly, about a guy who got married and his wife ran off, and the Bible says that she played the harlot. She was a loose woman, loose morals. And finally she ran up back to her dad's house, and so her husband went and got her, and he was going to bring her home. And on the way home they stopped in a city in Israel, and the men in the city, that city of Israel, during the night, wanted to come and have sexual relations with the man and his servant. The men wanted to have sexual relations with the visiting man. Well, one of the old men in the city had taken this traveler and his servant and his concubine, his wife, into their home, and so he felt responsibility to protect them. He didn't want them to do it. So they turned out the man's wife, the traveler's wife. They turned her loose on those men, and they raped her all throughout the night and murdered her. What a wonderful story to have in the Scripture. But listen, these guys were just doing what they thought was right. They thought it was right to be a homosexual. They thought it was right to be a rapist. They thought it was right to be a murderer. So the next morning when he woke up and got ready to go home, the Bible says, if you'll read through there, the Bible says he opened the door to get ready to go, and his dead wife was laying on the threshold. He picked her up, put her dead body on his donkey, took her home and cut her up into 12 pieces. And he sent one of those 12 pieces to each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he said, this is what has happened. He explained to them what has happened. So the tribes of Israel, several of them, but not all of them, the tribes of Israel rose up against the tribe of Benjamin, because it was in the territory of Benjamin that this all took place. And they went to do battle. There was a civil war, a civil battle, if you will, in the nation of Israel. And this one tribe of Benjamin was nearly annihilated. Well, then the guys got to thinking about it. Now, they did that because they thought that was right. It wasn't justice. It was revenge. But they thought everybody was doing what they thought was right. Well, then they realized, hey, we've just about annihilated this entire tribe of Benjamin. If we don't do something, we've either killed or stolen their women. We've killed most of their men. If we don't do something, an entire tribe of our nation is just going to vanish from off the face of the earth. So they allowed the Benjamites who were left. I think there was about 200 men or so that finally wound up with no women. So they allowed them, as a matter of fact, they encouraged them to come and kidnap some women, some virgins, and take them to be their wives so they could repopulate the tribe of Benjamin. So they wouldn't lose the tribe of Benjamin. I read through that. I thought, it's a gruesome story. It's the things that happened are gross. There's no moral standard. There's no religious standard. There's no guidance. There's no nothing. How in the world could these things happen? I came to the last verse of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. And it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I think these stories are in the Bible, and they're all true. Listen, this is not something God made up, or some of the judges made up, or some of the historians of Israel made up. These events actually happened. And I think God told us about them to see what a mess was made by everybody just doing what they thought was right. By thinking that I get to decide what's right and wrong, and I get to do what I want to do. And I look around at our world today, and I think we are doing the exact same thing, and we're making the exact same mess. There is truth. It is the Word of God. There is right. It is the way of God. And there is wrong. It is disobedience to God. And when we believe that, and when we live that way, then God blesses us. And when we don't, we wind up just like the nation of Israel in the time of the judges. Thank you for coming tonight. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Ladies, don't forget your meeting back in the back there. I don't know what to call that. That place back there, right after service tonight. Ladies. Thank you all for coming. Wayne, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that we have the Lord God Almighty. Lord, we have the proof of the Bible, and we thank you and praise you for all that you've made all things possible. And we thank you also, Lord, that you have shown us the other way, the way that is evil, the way that is doomed, the way that is